Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, entitled The Rainy Season and Autumn. Text 32. It's a new style with a small board. I'm nearsighted, so I have to sit here. Evam nivasato tasmin rama keshavayor raje sharat samabhavat vyabra swachambu apurushanila evam nivasatos tasmin rama keshavayor raje sharat samabhavad vyabra swacham vyapurasanila. Evam, in this manner, nivasato, while the two of them were dwelling, tasmin, in that, Ramakeshavayo, Lord Ram and Lord Keshava, Vraje, in Vrindavan, Sharat, the fall season. Samabhavat, became fully manifest. Vyabra, free from the clouds in the sky. Swachambu, in which the water was clear. Apurusha anila, and the wind was gentle. Translation. While Lord Ram and Lord Keshava were thus dwelling in Vrindavan, the fall season arrived, when the sky is cloudless, the water clear, and the wind gentle. Text 33. Sharada nirajopatya narani pakritim yayu Brastanam eva chetamsi punar yoga nishevaya. Translation. The autumn season which regenerated the lotus flowers also restored the various bodies of water to their original purity. Just as the process of devotional service purifies the minds of the fallen yogis when they return to it. Text 34. Yom no brambhut shabhayam bhuva pankam apammalam sharaj jahara shrashminam krishne bhaktir yatashubam. Translation. The autumn cleared the sky of clouds. Let the animals get out of their crowded living condition. Clean the earth of its covering of mud and purify the water of contamination. In the same way that loving service rendered to Lord Krishna frees the members of the four spiritual orders from their respective troubles. Purport. Every human being must perform the prescribed duties corresponding to one of the four spiritual orders of life. The divisions are celibate student life, brahmacharya. 2. Married life, grihastha. 3. Retired life, vanaprastha. And 4. The renounced life, sannyas. A brahmacharya must perform many menial duties during his student life. But as he becomes advanced in loving service to Krishna, his superiors recognize his spiritual status and elevate him to higher duties. The innumerable obligations performed on behalf of wife and children constantly harass a householder. But as he becomes advanced in loving service to Krishna, he is automatically elevated by the laws of nature to more enjoyable spiritual occupations, and he somehow minimizes material duties. Those in the vanaprastha or retired order of life also perform many duties, and these can be replaced by ecstatic loving service to Krishna. Similarly, renounced life has many natural difficulties, which is that sannyasis or renounced men are inclined to meditate on the impersonal aspect of the absolute truth. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, Klesho dikattarastesham avyaptak shaktate tisam. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Lord, advancement is exceedingly painful. As soon as a sannyasi takes to preaching the glories of Krishna in every town and village, his life becomes a blissful sequence of beautiful spiritual realizations. In the autumn season, the sky returns to its natural blue color. The vanishing of the clouds is like the vanishing of troublesome duties in brahmachari life. Just after summer comes, the rainy season, when the animals sometimes become disturbed by the torrential storms and thus huddle together. But the autumn season signals a time for the animals to go to their respective areas and live more peacefully. This represents a householder's becoming free from the harassment of family duties and being able to devote more of his time to spiritual responsibilities, which are the real goal of life both for him and his family. The removal of the muddy layer on the earth is like the removal of the inconveniences of vanaprastha life, and the purification of the water is like the sanctification of sannyas life by one's preaching the glories of Krishna without sex desire. Translation once again. Autumn cleared the sky of clouds, let the animals out of their crowded living condition. Clean the earth of its covering of mud and purify the water of contamination, in the same way that loving service rendered to Lord Krishna frees the members of the four spiritual orders from their respective troubles. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chokshuram Maritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasandubhyahevacha Potitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Kam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langai Tegirim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dintarnam Shri Paramanda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. It's a wonderful chapter. The last various verses we've been reading have been wonderful descriptions about different settings in Lord Krishna's pastimes. And it's a brilliant part of the Bhagavatam because it provides a kaleidoscope of different understandings of Krishna, his glory, his pastimes, his setting. Just like when you go to a play, there's so many props on the stage and there's so many different realities. And as we're describing in an earlier class, Shukadeva Goswami is making these wonderful metaphors
to help connect us to understand the setting of Krishna's Leela and his pastimes and his activities. And today's verse is very interesting because it ties two worlds together. The setting of Krishna's Leelas and his pastimes, we're reading in the earlier verses how Lord Ram and Keshava are dwelling in Vrindavan. The fall season arrived, the sky is cloudless, the water clear, and the wind gentle. Autumn season is which regenerate the lotus flowers, has restored various bodies of water to their original purity. And the process of devotional service purifies the minds of the fallen yogis when they return to it. We get wonderful pictures of two worlds. One is the perfect setting of Krishna's leelas and pastimes. And then, ultimately, the Supreme Lord Himself, He manifests, He comes to this material world, Paritranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Duskritam, to annihilate the obstacles and to deliver His devotees. So the Lord is so kind. So we're reading about how the Lord enters this world, and basically we are in the sandbox of the material world. So Krishna says, Dharma Chusaksa Bhagavat Pranitam, that he actually enacts the different religious principles to uplift the residents of the age of Kali Yuga. So within this particular age, there's different orders, which we've been reading about in the purport, as sannyas, vanapras, grihast, and brahmachari, brahmacharini. That there is full facility the Lord is giving in our particular settings to how to realize His glories, how to understand how we can reach Him. And this is the beauty of devotional service. When we read Krishna's pastimes and leelas, we want to apply these leelas within our particular devotional career. Because a most amazing scenario develops. We begin to see how Krishna is actually the source of all activities. Aham sarvasupavo mamatasupavaparte iti machapadante vam buddhabhava samanditaha. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. But those who are actually wise, they worship me with devotion, with all their hearts. They have perfect vision. So it's interesting, for a resident or jivatma who is on the material plane to hear these pastimes, there is a transformation of consciousness. We're watching how Krishna deals in his particular settings. And even earlier, we're reading different verses about the description of Vrindavan. Also, one verse described how the forest of Vrindavan is meant to augment, to facilitate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we're reading about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And we're perceiving these pastimes from a level where we've just come out of the slug-like existence, the cesspool of material existence. This is the power of devotional service. It can catapult us not only into a position of becoming free from material distress or becoming free from the anxieties of having no knowledge. Or if you want wealth, that will come your way. Or if you have knowledge or some inkling of the absolute truth, then all of a sudden, devotional service catapults you into these understandings where you can realize pastimes and activities that go beyond the material purview. And ultimately, developing our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So the Lord is known as Eko Bahusham. He actually expands Himself in many different forms. And we're reading about so many incarnations, Vishnu Tattva, Krishna Tattva. He comes to this world in the form He manifests. He sends His different pure devotees to guide persons towards the different aspects of the Supreme Lord. So if you study such pastimes, for example, when Krishna was watching the coward boys go into the mouth of the Agasura demon. And you may note how it's described in Krishna book. He's watching the coward boys go in, and they're fearless because they know Krishna, He'll save us. But Krishna's sitting there kind of like that picture. He's kind of like, you know, perplexed what to do. Because ultimately, He is supreme enjoyer. And by His internal potency, Yoga Maya, it makes arrangements that makes Him forget that actually He doesn't want to always understand that I'm the supreme Ishvara, supreme controller like that. But He likes to relish pastimes where He becomes dependent on situations. He becomes anaptakam. He becomes controlled by his devotees. So for one moment, Krishna, he becomes Yogamaya, kind of the Supreme Lord, becomes a little perplexed what to do. And then he jumps into action where he goes into the mouth of the Agasura demon, expands himself and kills the demon and delivers his, brings his devotees to another leela. It's amazing that Krishna book pastimes, each back to back. If you look at the different Don Kaili pastimes where the Lord is engaging in different tollkeeper activities, he's asking, he would stop the different gopis, he would stop Radharani, and he would charge her for the beauty of different parts of her body, to the point where it's impossible, impossible. What wealth can you have to the Supreme Lord's most intimate consort? And then he would charge unlimited amounts of wealth, and the next day he would come for his wealth, and then he would be surrounded by the various gopis, and in that way, bound, and in this way, chastised for his audacity. Audacity to actually stop the coward damsels of Braj. So it's amazing when we study these different pastimes and leelas for Krishna's complete enjoyment. And then we study how, as we're reading in this verse, it's talking about the four orders, how they have different arenas of service in order to understand these pastimes. And it's describing here in the purport, each of the orders have different types of tests. There's different types of obstacles. And we say often again that actually whatever test you may receive is perfect and complete. Because ultimately it is described with the strength of and service of Guru and Krishna, you'll never be given a test you cannot pass. Because by the strength of Krishna, by the strength of service. Sometimes a mistake, devotees will want to engage in devotional service with a motivation of purification of consciousness. But that's like putting the cart before the horse. Because ultimately, if you want purification, this leaves Krishna out in the sense of engagement in service. See, the devotee aspires for service. Purification is a byproduct of devotional service. So it's interesting to note, when Srila Prabhupada, he came to, I think he was traveling, in America, and he went to Atlanta, Chicago, and it was actually, yes, in Atlanta he made this comment, "This is the best temple." Yes, because the devotees are working so hard. He would say, "This is the best temple. So nice. Such a beautiful temple. You're working so hard." Then he would go to Chicago and say, "No, this is the best temple here." And he'd go to Hawaii. "Oh, this is the best temple." And I'm sure when he came to Melbourne, "Oh, this is the best temple." And in one lecture in Atlanta where he was doing this, he was encouraging the devotees. And then he said, actually, that, you know, Krishna, he is so kind. And then he quoted this verse, "Paramakuruna pahu dvijana." That actually, it is Mahaprabhu. He is the most merciful. They have come to deliver you. And he said, actually, it's a very, very, if you have a chance to listen to this lecture, but Prabhupada, he was saying that actually, Krishna demands surrender. He is not so kind. But Mahaprabhu is so kind. He gives himself. And when he said these words, actually his voice was completely choked up when he actually chanted this verse. Because he was actually he was an instrument in terms of facilitating Mahaprabhu's mission in this world. And he was exalting this performance. See, what he was the most empowered emissary to bring these two worlds together. Because in India, there's so many sannyasis, there's so many vanaprasas, so many brahmacharis, there's so many grihastas. But ultimately, we see what Prabhupada has done. He's presented the Krishna conscious formula in various parts of the world where these different ashrams, these different orders of life could be actually imbibed by Malechas and Yavanas. Wasn't it when Srila Prabhupada was in Sydney, when he left Radha Gopinath here, "I've left you in the hands of the Malechas and Yavanas"? And the deities, it's amazing that we see in different settings, the deities are so kind and they tolerate so many different, shall we say, when a child learns to walk, sometimes a child may stumble and trip like that. So oftentimes we see that even though we may approach the Lord imperfectly, then what happens is the Lord gives wonderful intelligence, didami, buddhi, yogam, tam, how to make the next step. So Srila Prabhupada's brilliance was that he was able to transplant these settings of Krishna's leela and pastimes. He was actually giving us facility how we can realize these pastimes in our practical, simple service of whether it's deity worship, the distribution, the harinam, the prasadam intake. There's so many amazing realizations devotees get just by honoring prasad. The process is so powerful. So it's a change of consciousness. So what Srila Prabhupada has given us, which links the two settings of these worlds, is this process of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. Sambandha is helping us understand that we have an eternal relationship. You're not alone. I remember when I first joined Krishna consciousness and understood about the laws of karma and actually spiritual benefits eternal. And as soon as I take shelter of Krishna, the backpack of material burdens and karma will dissipate. It was such a wonderful feeling. Anyone's gone backpacking, you take off a heavy weight. Just like yesterday, I was getting some books from the book garage. And Lita came out and she was, you know, I gave her a full set of JSDs. You know, oh, no, Quest for Enlightenment, that's not as heavy, you know. And she was like carrying a box, you know. I'll help you, Maharaj, you know, helps it. And then she brought some small books and threw about 20 of them on the ground. But we see how Krishna, he makes different arrangements within our service to want to carry some burdens. And here she is, how old is she? About, you know, 8 or so, you know, like that, carrying a full set. Can you do it? Yeah, I can do it, you know. What major, who knows, she'll be... doing such a service in the later years. She may be distributing lots of books. So it's interesting that, first of all, Prabhupada has given us access to this relationship, which a long-lost relationship. And then in terms of the abhideya, the process, we have the process, sadhana bhakti, like two tracks. There's the preaching work, there's sadhana work, and Prabhupada described his temples as bases to fight Maya. And there's so many, especially here in Melbourne, there's so many different facilities for fighting Maya, so many different aspects of service. So then Prabhupada, he's helped us enter into this process of spiritual cultivation, of changing consciousness. And then in terms of the prayojan, it is what is the ultimate goal is to develop one's love for Krishna. So it's quite inconceivable that we're dealing with understanding Krishna's pastimes. As said, Prabhupada used the example, putting the rod in the fire becomes like the fire. That by absorbing ourselves in these pastimes of utilizing this material form and associating with others in material fields where people are forgetful of the absolute truth, all of a sudden there's an increase in consciousness. In the Olympics, you'll be having the Commonwealth Games very shortly. They have the Olympic swimmers, they have the swimming pools, and they have the different caps and gowns and just to cut a few microseconds off the clock. And in that way, you know, perfect diet like that, because they eat properly and all these things, to fine-tune the health. And I think, don't they wear little costumes now that make you, it's like you're already in your, squid body. You know, it's kind of like a fine-tuned costume that, you know, not even the hairs in the body would actually slow you down, whatever. So anyways, what does an Olympic swimmer do? They fine-tune their health. They fine-tune their intelligence in terms of focusing, you know, AK have fixed to go for that gold medal. So in one sense, we're like Olympic swimmers. The gold medal is Krishna Prema. And we want relationships. And there's so many different services in the meanwhile that can bring us into that understanding. And it's amazing. Because as we perfect our chanting, always offering the Nam to itself, always trying to avoid the 10 offenses, always being attentive towards these different details, then all of a sudden we begin to make sense to the different Vaishnavas and our Vaishnavas around us. And we begin to develop a sense of a camaraderie that actually the place that I have been situated by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to awaken my Krishna consciousness is perfect and complete. Not even a blade of grass moves without higher sanction. That let me work with my service. Let me run with my service. So then we want to be very conscientious towards, as we were reading about earlier, to understand the settings of Krishna. So yes, the forest grows Vrindavan are facilities to actually develop one's relationship with, or to worship Radha and Krishna. There is this one term described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is Balavas Vrati, where it's describing that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they worship the Supreme Absolute Truth with a mood of combined relationships, combined Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Naya Anya. How are we accessing the understandings of Radha Krishna? It's through the mercy of Nitai Gaur. So it's interesting. Every day we are offering respects to the spiritual master. Because how are we getting access to Nitai Gaur is by the mercy of Guru. So every day we're singing this prayer. Nikunja yu no ratike siddhya ya yada bir yuktir affectioniya tata tritaksha rativa labasya vande gurush charanara vindam. That the spiritual master, he is very dear and he's very expert at assisting the gopis who make different arrangements for the conjugal affairs of Radha and Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan. I offer my respectful obeisance unto him. Now when we see this verse, every day we're chanting this verse, describing how the spiritual master is assisting the most intimate servants of the Lord. Of course, serving in parampara, the spiritual masters are serving the different Goswamis who are these direct residents or servants of the Lord. So it's interesting to note that if we develop this type of relationship, we are allowed an entrance to these different settings of Krishna realization. How to use our particular form in this material world and how to understand Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Panchadravida Maharaj once said to Srila Prabhupada, this is when ISKCON is getting very big. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON is getting so big. How can we maintain our personal relationship with you, Srila Prabhupada? And Srila Prabhupada said that because at this time he was kind of indicating he was getting a little bit tired of management. So he wanted to back out of that responsible position. And Srila Prabhupada gave the answer, you do not understand correctly, that actually I am doing everything in ISKCON. He read his mind, you know, I am doing everything. I am doing the deity worship. I am cleaning the temple. I am distributing the books. But the point being is that I am doing this through you and I need help to do all these things. And he gave the example of a pujari. When a pujari goes on the altar, he may sometimes, just like I noticed, like sometimes with Subhag Swami or older Swamis in Mayapur, a brahmachari will assist him, will hand him the ghee lamp, will hand him the different articles, so he, you know, because he can't bend down so much. And so he would hand him and assist him in the worship. So Prabhupada says, I'm saying this to you, hand me the incense, hand me the ghee lamp. And in this way, you are assisting me. Because I am doing everything in one respect, but I need your assistance. I need to work through you and you and you. Do you understand now? Because when we're assisting the spiritual master, when we're offering some type of service, then you are always together. Srila Prabhupada himself said, I always experienced the association of my Guru Maharaj wherever I went. Because this is a secret. If we focus on an opportunity of Krishna consciousness to have Krishna enjoy through us, then we'll never try and enjoy Krishna. Because that means we're cutting ourselves, or shall we say, we're limiting our that dynamic. We're not taking advantage of the whole mood of service to Guru. Guru is serving in parampara, and you are meant to become an instrument in parampara. So it's interesting to note that the process of Krishna consciousness means to bring us to this topmost level. And what is happening in this connection with Guru and service to the Lord in this particular material sphere, we have the different ashrams and there's different obstacles that we must pass. That ultimately, You may know the pastime of how when the king was giving benedictions to different personalities, and he gave a benediction. Oh, brahmachari, may you die now. You got a head start, huh? You know, may you die now. You got a head start. Because it's very difficult, especially in the age of Kali. Even His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj said that actually Australia is where one of Maya's great kingdoms. He was saying actually that even as far as the power of Maya is not it's strong, even in different parts, he can't figure any place, especially like in third world countries where there's more culture there, in India like that. But even said, even in Europe, he says, actually, Australia, this is one of Maya's great kingdoms. Anyways, if you just get off the plane, look at the billboards, it's very easy to get some realization towards that. But, so anyways, he gave a benediction to the king, to the prince. May you live a long life. And don't die. Because as soon as you live a long life, you have opulences. But as soon as you die, your karma, the karma's finished, and you'll have to reap the results of the misuse of your independence. And then he gave a benediction to the Muni sage. Oh, that my dear sage, you may live nor die. Actually, I said this, it was a brahmachari class in Mayapur. And I said, Subhag Swami, you can live or die. Because the Muni sage, and he was like, it's like it's sometimes in a class, you never give anybody too much eye contact because it takes too much, you put too much pressure on someone. But I just took it was about 400 devotees there, I just put all eyes on Subhag Swami. Oh! So he gave the benediction, my dear sage, you can live or die, it doesn't matter. Because ultimately, living, you're fully realized, you're fully understanding about Krishna, and it's like even for a self-realized soul in a material form, of course we don't see it as material, but it becomes spiritualized. It's a consolation to be in this world, because in this plane of existence, there's so many persons that have no knowledge of Krishna. So there's a consolation being in the material world to preach Krishna consciousness as described in this verse. But to the butcher, oh, may you neither live nor die. Because by living, your activities are so sinful, and by dying, you're going to reap your just deserts. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But ultimately, the process is that you must take shelter of spiritual culture. And in this way, come to a higher position. So it's interesting, what's described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is the principle of Svarupa Lakshana, which is the intrinsic reality of devotional service, which means the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because what this refers to is that this hearing and chanting, like when Srila Prabhupada gave the example of how many pure devotees are in the movement. And how many pure devotees are there? And he goes, they're all pure devotees. And the person was asking, what? And probably give the example of a mango. There's a ripe mango, unripe mango. One is at a later stage of development. So the point being is that if one's following the process, even though a pure devotee can have material desires.
What?
Yes. A pure devotee can have material desires, but what is this? He or she does not act on those desires. You don't itch the itch. You understand, you got the material body, the pushings may be there. Of course, the topmost, in terms of the topmost pure devotee, the Mahabhagavat, there's no material desires. In fact, the Mahabhagavat is looking at even the wine on the street as more honest than himself. In other words, the Mahabhagavat has full knowledge. And he feels in his sense of humility, I'm not taking advantage. But the wino may be absorbed in his bottle of wine, but at least he's honest. He's dealing with his circumstances. So in that sense, we see that the process of Krishna consciousness brings us in contact with this Sarupa Lakshana, the opportunity to hear and chant. And then there is the reality of describe. Okay, so getting back to my earlier point, that this hearing and chanting is non-different than Krishna Prema. It leads one into Krishna prema, like a diving board. You dive, you jump on the diving board. It leads into a body of water. So it's just a matter of a progressive level of developing one's consciousness. So what you come in contact is what's called tatashta lakshana, when it is the reality where there's a change of consciousness. There's a change of heart. So we've all experienced to some degrees, right, Bhakti Day, a little change of heart, you know? A little bit, everybody's, you know, we're finding that as I stay with my devotional career, it becomes a little easier to engage in the process, especially, as I was saying the other day, we develop the good habits. So it's interesting, this tatashta lakshana is actually the result, the transformation of consciousness. And I know Devamrita Swami always uses this term, the transformation and distribution. When there's a change of heart, we want to extend ourselves, we want to become an instrument to become Krishna's saintly person in this material world. So it's an amazing scenario that what we're reading about here, first of all, in this chapter, the different descriptions of the Lord's the backdrop to Krishna's pastimes, and we're reading about, in this particular verse and purport, about the different ashrams that must engage in this land of Mrityu Savaharaschaham, where there's all, where Krishna comes in different forms like death. So it becomes a very embarrassing affair when we try and study Krishna consciousness without immersing ourselves in the different gifts in the process of hearing and chanting and service. And what happens as a result of this, we become a little mechanical and not so attentive towards the power and glory of devotional service. So if we study Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we see how he exhibits this ability to shift gears. First of all, Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radhe Krishna Nahayanya. He is Radha and Krishna combined. But then he enters this plane of existence as a devotee to taste the mood that Radha has for Krishna. But in his own humility, he would never like to be addressed as Bhagavan. So you may remember the pastime where he is... So Govinda he saw this one Mataji was chanting the Gita Govinda so beautifully, and he was running after her. He was thinking, oh, here's such a wonderful voice, and he wanted to embrace this devotee. And Govinda, was it Govinda? Who captured him. No, this is a woman, you cannot, you're a sannyasi. And then Mahaprabhu said, oh, you saved me, I almost embraced a woman. See, he was in the mood of a sannyasi, and sannyasi has certain protocols that are there. A sannyasi has to make sense. As described here, the glory is for a sannyasi to get actually some, the very neophyte sannyasi engages in personal conceptions. But when we understand the advanced conception of Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the advanced sannyasi will understand that Krishna is a person and try and give Krishna in different ways. So in one sense, Mahaprabhu, he refrained from being touched or touching a woman in this situation. But then when he was taking darshan of the Lord Jagannath, he was by the Garuda Stambha, and he was taking full darshan of the Lord, and this old lady, the personification of Utsahan, got up on his shoulder, stepped on his shoulder to take darshan of the Lord Jagannath. And then Govinda was there again. Oh, get down. And Mahaprabhu is in a whole different bhav because he was not thinking himself as sannyasi. Sannyasi is external. And even his role as a sannyasi coming to this world, it's just an external affair in order to do what? To make sense to others, to bring the vanaprastha, grihastha, brahmachari, sannyasis in the future towards Krishna consciousness and towards their developing their relationship with Radha and Krishna. And then he said to Govinda, no, leave her, because he came to external consciousness. He was meditating as his mood in terms of as a manjari, a maidservant of Radha and Krishna, while he was taking darshan of Lord Jagannath. But then as soon as he came to external consciousness, his consciousness shifted in the sense that he was actually one observing Lord Krishna in Kurukshetra. So it's interesting to know, but still he let Govinda. You know, he said, Govinda, leave her alone. I wish her, my enthusiasm to take darshan of the Lord was as great as hers. But then she came to external consciousness. And then she got down, oh, I'm standing on the sannyasi. So it's interesting. I remember, the whole pastime of when Durga Ma had gone wild, at her, shall we say, her service of giving the just reserves of the hard rain of karma. And she was killing unlimited persons. And even it was just described, the name demigods could either stop Mother Durga. You know, in Calcutta they have all these big, the mafia goes from store to store, robs people in a nice, with a smile, getting their money. And then they have these big pandals. And they offer respect to Mother Durga, but each pandal will have a particular theme, whether a Tulsi theme or a building of the Prabhupada Samadhi in Mayapur. You see, the preaching that Prabhupada has been doing by his, through ISKCON is actually affecting a city, a place like Calcutta, which Gorkishore Das Babaji said is an illusory universe. He would never go there. So it's interesting. We see how this that Prabhupada was so empowered to create a situation where we could actually become Krishna conscious, and that he was so empowered in the sense of trying to help us make progression on the spiritual path. And so Lord Chaitanya, he exhibited this vision, this ability of how to shift gears. But of course, it was a natural affair, but how to shift gears in Krishna consciousness by his ability to make sense, when it was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he would always, he was such an exalted devotee, he had such amazing realizations. But externally, he was very pompous, dressed like a king. But when Gadadhar saw him, he actually understood, oh, I've made an offense. And then he understood that actually, let me take initiation from this personality. So we can't judge by externals, because a real devotee will have certain symptoms. And what are the symptoms of a pure devotee? He's always thinking, he or she is always thinking and rendering service to the Supreme Lord. He's always meditating on how to facilitate the Lord's pastimes. So that's why it's described in this purport, the power of the preaching. The power of actually devotional service. Because sadnakara, bhajanakara, murti jamne hoy. That whatever bhajan we have, perform in this life, will be tested at the time of death. So right now, you're being tested for tomorrow, for next week, for next month, for next year. But devotional service is eternal. That's why it's very important, like you've just finished a marathon. It's so easy to get wrapped up in a particular aspect of service. We have to think in terms of long-term vision. We must return to a position of a balanced sadhana, hearing and chanting and preaching. Because sometimes during the marathon you may work so hard, but you minimize your hearing and chanting for a higher cause. But we don't want to go to extremes in Krishna consciousness where we go to full on extreme of no sadhana, or full extreme of all sadhana, no preaching. You know, we have to develop a balance. Devotees are extremists. And they always be, it's kind of like you're giving up material sense gratification, so there's gotta be extreme. You just gotta be a fanatic in whatever you do. But we're learning how to cap things, to kind of keep the fiery desire for service within and make sense without. And this is what will help the different orders. Whether you're a sannyasi, you must preach the knowledge. Grihastha, you have different responsibilities. Vanaprast, they have responsibilities. Brahmachari, there may be difficulty. But the focus is, by service, by the preaching, we are able to understand our particular setting make sense to the Lord and the devotees within that setting, and then we realize the setting of Krishna's pastimes and his activities. So as we were saying the other day, it's like kind of a matter of understanding how we can become Krishna's instruments. How we can become empowered to become receptive to the Lord's plan in our life. And then, as I was saying, our will develops a sense of unity with the Supreme Lord. And what's happening, even though you have material difficulties, you may have a material body, all of a sudden you begin to learn to transcend these, as described in the purport, these obstacles that may be there. And you can, if you stay with this process, just like if you go into an attic and you look and you may see like this board. Actually, Jai Chaitaran, he once actually did this. He was in the attic in New Zealand and he saw this board and he wiped off the board and all of a sudden it was a mirror. And then he could see his reflection. By staying with the process, all of a sudden there may be a change of consciousness and you begin to see that actually I'm meant to be enjoyed by the Lord. I'm meant to be engaged in a particular service. I've always been trying to enjoy separately, but I'm not the Supreme Ishvara. I'm actually Das, Das, Anudas. I'm simply a servant of a servant. Then all of a sudden, a taste will develop in your service. Or let's say you've been a devotee for many years, and then you've been engaging in a particular service very nicely, then sometimes Krishna pulls the rug in this way. The body gets a little older, gets a little infirm. We begin to think, and other devotees may want to, you know, develop our service like that. This is like I remember being in when I was traveling in San Diego. I was really into doing different deity worship there, and then I was spending lots of hearing and chanting around the temple, and then I was getting a little older, so it was time for me to go out traveling, and then others are taking my service. I think all these devotees are back at the temple getting so much mercy, association with the Lord, but I didn't understand by going out on a limb. Then there's a very wonderful personal experience where Krishna is making different arrangements. Yasranam anuganami, harisye tanam shanai. He'll take things away to give me another opportunity, another avenue of service. Because Krishna, he knows how many breaths we have left in this body, how many years you have. So he's okay, he's making arrangements to help us at the time of death to remember him. So again, it is an amazing scenario that actually we're coming to the table of Krishna consciousness. And as I said earlier, Krishna will give us a test we can't pass. So in other words, you can only eat so much at a dinner table. You can only eat so much. So you each have different abilities. You may be a receptionist. You may be a pujari, a sankirtan devotee. You may be coming from Malaysia and you can't understand English and you're in the class hearing the sound vibration. But anyways, it Super Soul's listening. But I'm just joking. You can translate later on for her. She's such a sweetie. Such a sweet. I was at Sadananda's house for a few days, and what happened was I was doing the deity worship, and I know Mataji had gone to the temple to cook the fruit offering. I heard this big noise in the kitchen. I go, huh? There's a thief in the house. And I came out, and I ran into the kitchen with my invisible club. And there was Mataji. Oh, Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I didn't know she was there, Anyways, wonderful devotee. But she's so simple. She's an example of someone. It's good, she's not listening, but, she's an example of someone so simple that, when times come, the time of death, Krishna, will just say, Ma Shuchaha, don't fear. Come with me. So this is what's available to us. So the reality is this. Our will becomes one with the Supreme Lord as we learn about our particular... It's all externals as far as our service in the different four orders in this world. But we're learning about the settings of Krishna's pastimes, his name, form, pastimes and activities. So it's happening here. We're coming to the table. We're digesting in our service as much as we can. Krishna will only give you so much. So develop the quality. And one of the best instructions ever given to me was that whatever strength you have, you develop that strength. Because that strength will help you overcome your weaknesses. So this is a very good instruction. You develop your service. And it's like, you know, Munichara, you're at the Crossways and you're figuring how to sell the books. You know, different. It's all a matter of relationships. We want to we may be a receptionist and we want to figure a way of communicating with people. People call a temple, hello. You don't want to be like that. I'm not saying you're like that. I'm just joking. But I'm saying that you want to be, hello. You know, it's always nice to be called, Hare Krishna. You know, it's nice. People become, you know, I'm calling the Hare Krishna temple. You maybe have some person, you know, they took prasad on the Crossways and they saw Bhakta Smiley there and, you know, and he's in the telephone booth and having a heart attack and, hello, have some, you know, pray to Radhavabha, I can make it out of this heart attack like that. You want someone enthusiastic at the end of the line, you know. It's all a matter of personalism. It's like a big submarine, you know. You have your managers, you know, that are organizing things in terms of, you know, put the periscope this way, that way, and you have the torpedo-like devotees going out, distribute the books, and going to Crossways, you know. You know, different prasadam ventures, and you have different devotees worshiping the deities, making the garlands, you know. Have devotees in the engine room, you know, like we've got the big engine room, and you have, you know, the cooks, you know, making arrangements. And so it's amazing to see. It's all a team effort. And Krishna has made these different designs. And Prabhupada gives an example, you know, that the noises may be there, huh? You know, when you cook in the kitchen, the noise may be there, but the ultimate preparation is made for service to the Lord. So ultimately, it comes down to coming to the table of Krishna consciousness and digest as much as we can. When you go to the Holy Dham, you digest as much as you can, as much as you're allowed, and you bring that back and distribute to those who didn't get the opportunity to go to the Holy Dham. And then we understand that actually the purpose of our life is the reality of personalism. The supreme truth is a person. It is not us. It is Bhagavan and his different Shaktis. This is Krishna consciousness. And this is what ties his two worlds together in terms of dealing with the sandbox material world and performing our activities in Krishna consciousness, realizing Krishna, realizing there's a relationship. And then we'll see. Just like Keshava Prabhu was mentioning the other day, that because he's getting a wonderful opportunity to begin his seva to Giriraj and the deity worship. And he was just saying that different confirmations were there. Different confirmations were coming. And so we like the confirmations to encourage us in our service, in a specific aspect of service. We like confirmations. And this is why it's so important that as we taste the Nam and distribute the Nam, as we read the books and we distribute the books, we see that there's a confirmation. The material desires, they're going down and down and down. And our ability to communicate with others increases in so many different ways. So this is what's so wonderful about this process. And this is what ties these two worlds together. Again, as we read the book Bhagavat, and as we serve the person Bhagavat, we want to tie the two worlds of understanding how we can perceive Krishna's pastimes even in the self-same body. Not that we have simply put the pastimes on a pedestal and say, this is for the pure devotees. No, if you're following the process of Krishna consciousness, as by Prabhupada's definition, you're on a certain level of pure devotion. And this is the beautiful realities of where the Tathashta Lakshana, this change of heart develops. And it's available for you and you and you and you. So the future is ever bright. And then it comes to the point where on the topmost devotional level, the gopis, they're cursing Lord Brahma for the creation of this material body, because what is it doing? It's blinking so many times, blocking their vision of the Lord. So this is why it's very important for us to lock on to this process of sadhana bhakti. And I remember Devarita Swami once telling me, because I was asking him about the future, what his vision was, the future of ISKCON, in the sense of devotees working together. You know, because I was speaking in terms of the collectively, you know, the Sankirtan, international, like that. And he said, don't expect that there be a big team effort, teamwork, and everyone working together in harmony. You will find in the next few years many devotees in their own individual capacity doing their best. And of course, there is a lot of collective teamwork that is there. But in the beginning stages, Prabhupada himself said it's the third generation which will really kick Krishna, which will really present, kick off Krishna consciousness. I didn't mean kick Krishna. Will kick Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, hopefully not. Will actually present Krishna consciousness in a very powerful way in the West. And so this is what I've come to terms with, that, for example, the sannyasi, that I focus, I don't get it, I don't focus in different the arenas of management like that. I try to become everybody's friend. And this comes especially in the Giriraj Puja, because in that puja, Giriraj's Leela is bringing devotees together. So this is very helpful for our particular ashram, because it's saying here, a sannyasi will preach. Well, for me to preach in any capacity, I have to, first of all, experience that I have some type of relationship with the Lord, that I want to give something as a byproduct of that relationship. So we each have to find within our particular service. You may be grihastha. I have the duty of having a Krishna conscious household in order to preach by example and also to facilitate a family situation where others. It's so nice the other day when Christian and Jackie came, you know. Like they're absorbing themselves, you know, in a future Krishna conscious career. So it's a wonderful affair. Each one of us. I may be a little brahmachari on the altar, you know. Every day I'm worshipping Shalagram Shila, you know. I'm getting absorbed. And I was in Mayapur for so many years and everyone likes me. Well, most people like me. Except the Maharaj, when I always go to him, is bother him when he's trying to sleep or something. But anyways, it's a loving exchange we can have. So whatever the difficulties you are experiencing in your service, the difficulties will be there. You're in the material world. You got the material body. That they will be tolerant. You can tolerate. Tamstik shalbara. You simply tolerate, as Lord Krishna says, tolerate the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress. And in this way, things will get sweeter. Everything, your relationship with Guru, every time you see Guru, because you're following the examples of your spiritual master and his instructions, it becomes sweeter. It develops a sense of interdependence. To the point you begin to see your Guru everywhere in service. You begin to see him in so many different features of service because he is there. And this is the beauty. I think it was when Guru Maharaj was last here, and he said to Preeti, he said to her, because now she's graduated from her medical pursuits and now working. Now he said to her, now that you've graduated, how about the chanting? Don't tell her I mentioned her in class. We're a comedian anyway. But the thing is, and he said to her, now you've graduated. And he said like this, now what about your chanting? And then he said, actually, you know, I might not be around much longer. So we have to see, the reality is, we have the Vapu Seva, but then by nature's course, the Vani Seva, we have to develop that relationship with the spiritual master, whether he's physically with us or he's not. And this is Krishna consciousness. This is a success formula. Even though there may be difficulty in your part of the battlefield, well, as individuals progress in your service, at least focus on your chanting, focus on the morning program, come to the temple as much as you can. And even though you might not be able to work with the collective in the most harmonious way, if you maintain your relationship by following the principal instructions from Guru, all of a sudden a taste will develop for the detailed instructions. as far as the different ways to preach and remember the Guru in different ways. So this is how we can understand how to overcome the difficulties between the different ashrams, understand the setting of our service, and then we will realize the setting, Krishna's pastimes and activities in the forest groves, and there'll be a day that, as Narada Muni describes, when death comes, it's just like lightning and thunder are like, you know, simultaneous realities. That when you leave the body, then ultimately you'll be given that next arena, that next form that which can serve the Lord in a more intimate capacity. And it may be to return the spiritual abode or continue the preaching work, but either way, it is all a process of samadhi, where we're developing our love and we're acknowledging different levels of praying through the process of hearing and chanting. So don't become mechanical, as I said. Don't become wooden-headed. Don't take the process for granted. Run with the process. Run with your service. Then you'll begin, as Prabhupada says, the chanting, is the typing is none different from the chanting. One time it was Surabhi. He was helping in Vrindavan doing the architecture. And he was in so much anxiety, he's talking to Mayapur, just building this, all this building is so much anxieties. There's so much anxieties and management. And, you know, because in India, you get cement, and half of it gets on the truck, and it's always being withered down at every stop. I think it was Jayataka Maharaj, and also it was Bhavananda Prabhu. They would ride on the back of the cement trucks when they would drive through, getting to from Calcutta to Mayapur, and they would they'd actually have also the iron, the cement bags and all the iron, and they would notice whenever they would go to a stop, there'd be someone who'd come up and kind of look in the back of the truck. Oh, I guess we can't touch it, Along the way, it gets pulled out, So the point being is that Krishna consciousness means that we're making different investment programs to absorb ourself in our particular service and just watch the reality as you fly the plane, you look out the window, you see there's distances, the land's getting smaller, the material desires are getting smaller. And as I once said, I remember I was, in going to Korea, and I was sitting between two Buddhists in the plane, and they waved at the clouds nearby, And I was seeing, because here it's describing how some of the neophyte sannyasis will want the impersonalist conception. And I was just kind of like, whew, it's nice to, anyways, we're not interested in becoming one with the clouds. But ultimately, we want to distribute the cloud-like mercy to the conditioned souls of Krishna consciousness. And it is only through this personal conception. So again, reality comes down to a person, and Bhagavan is different shaktis. That is Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. And by studying these different energies of the Supreme Lord in our present field of service, then you'll be able to associate with the Lord in a much greater and more intimate capacity. So I will stop there. Does anybody have any questions about this verse or comments? Anything? Yes.
Just wondering, Vishnu's Shoibrams, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was just wondering whether you could speak on that. I personally feel that a lot of people in India worship Lord Vishnu seriously, and it's a very, very important aspect of it.
What's your question?
Vishnu Shalagram Seals?
Yes.
We haven't got one here, but I'm just wondering, maybe.
Vishnu Shila. Well, the Shalagram Shila has different aspects. Any Shalagram, for example, the Das Avatars, whether you're looking at Nisringadev, Kurma, Varaha, Kurma's right up there too today. That's a Vishnu aspect. But for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we can see in terms of the Vishnu aspect, because the Vishnu aspect comes this material world to take the obstacles out and to deal in that arena. But there's for the Gaudiya Vaishnava, we see all Shalagrams as different Krishna Stupa Govan Swayam. We can see them, each of them, as different forms of Vallabha. And this is why the Shalagram is a Pradhan deity which can be worshipped. You can actually bathe the Shalagram, and the Archavigraha is automatically worshipped in this way. They're non-different. So the in terms of worshipping Shalagram Shila, that one can see in either sense, the Vishnu aspect of the... But it's interesting, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we like to see the Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So for the preaching work, we will see the Vishnu aspect. Because Vasudeva Krishna, that form of the Lord, will dabble with the material side of things. But ultimately, the Lord, and then we, for our personal meditation, we'll see the Krishna aspect. Because that's who we want to return back to. We don't want to take shelter. We don't want to go to Vaikuntha and worship. But we see the different aspects of the Lord and His Vishnu expansions as ways. Like, for example, Nrisimhadeva is not a Rag Marg deity. In other words, what He does is He helps bring us to the position of spontaneous service. He helps take out the obstacles to award us a relationship on with, as we were describing earlier, with the most intimate aspect of the Supreme Lord, Radha and Krishna. So we see these. So for preaching work, we can see in terms of Vishnu Tattva, but for our personal meditation, we see we associate with Vallabha in that way, and that way it's a more holistic. And you're, as Prabhupada says, we want to go for the highest goal, shoot for the rhino. We want to see Krishna in His most intimate capacity, and in this way, even though we may fall short in this life of realizing that intimate aspect, we'll take birth in a situation where we'll pick up where we left off. Any other questions? Yeah. Okay, one last.
The person on the street isn't aware that actually Lord Krishna is in their heart. And I think, just from my personal experience, actually seeing that like a poster of Lord Vishnu in the heart actually changes one's life. And from that point on, you can say, okay, Lord Vishnu is in my heart. Who actually put Lord Vishnu there? Where does Lord Vishnu come from? Like that. I'm just thinking it's just the first step to jumping straight to Lord Krishna. It's going to be difficult.
Of course, it's very, 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 shall we say, refined topics. That if one's material desires are there, it's impossible to understand these things with our ant-like intelligence. In other words, it's a propensity of enjoyment. I want to enjoy. Like, knowledge can be very enjoyment. Gyan is this enjoyment. But vigyan means I'm meant to be enjoyed. And then there's realization. So then these persons have to engage in some type of activity, taking prasadam, going to the loft, or associating with a devotee to come to a deeper level. And antaryami, the Lord in the heart, will purify from within and without. He will give persons. So when we meet new people, we don't want to describe these technicalities because it'll trip up. They'll trip up within the consciousness that I'm an enjoyer. I have to figure it out with my own brain. But you see, this is basically, especially we see even in devotional circles, this desire, like amongst the pandits, to analyze even the previous acharya's commentaries, saying maybe he didn't give us everything, because this is the last snare of material existence. You want to be Krishna. You want to figure things out with your own intelligence. So to new persons, we invite them. We develop a relationship with them. And Prabhupada, when he was in Juhu Beach, he would say good morning to people. He wouldn't say Hare Krishna. He would say good morning. He wanted to establish a relationship. Then as an associate with the devotees, sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarvashastra koi, lavamanta sadhusanga, sarvasiddhi hoi. The moment's association, then ultimately, even with a pure devotee, that's perfection. It's a change of consciousness. And as I was describing earlier, is a transformation of the heart. So the heart has to become soft before we're ready to understand these different subtle, advanced understandings. So become their friend, give them prasadam, invite them to Crossways, and naturally they'll begin to get experiences or remembrances that I remember that I was in a dangerous situation and I felt some inspiration for them to move here, move there, and I was saved. And they'll acknowledge that actually that was in that form that could have been information from a super soul. But see, people's intelligence is so cloudy. You go to Meyer's store, they have mundane music in the elevator, and it becomes background music. And people become bewildered. It actually subtly controls people to buy, to enjoy. But we want to put the sound vibration of the holy name in the center. So it's all in association. So bring persons. Place yourself in their shoes. If you were in that situation, what would you want said to you that would affect your heart? And this is preaching work. This is communication work. It's a wonderful process. It's amazing, actually, inconceivable that in this material arena that we're in, that we can realize the Supreme Lord in this life. The process is perfect, and it will happen if you stay with the process. Inconceivable. And it makes all the austerities of people saying no to you in the streets. It doesn't happen so much here, get a job. But it happens in America so much. So much austerity, or even difficulty amongst the devotees in working together. You have different departments. I call it, in Mayapur, I have what's called departmental devotional service. But Prabhupada's vision was actually to place Krishna in the center, and all these things will disappear in time. And you do your best as an individual. Just follow the principal instructions of the Guru, and in this way you'll make wonderful advancement. And soon you'll be able to associate with all different types of devotees of different types of abilities, and because Krishna is in the center. So that's the opportunity available to us, so let us take advantage of that. Alright. Grantaraj Srimad Bhavatam Ki Jai. Jagru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Guru Premanandi.